Hey there, everybody, and welcome to a special edition Android Central podcast. It is episode number 177. Seems like we've been podcasting a lot lately, and for good reason. This is the official special edition HTC One podcast, the M8 podcast. So
the new HTC One podcast.
The all new HTC, not the old HTC One podcast. That's Alex Dobie, by the way.
Hey, everyone.
So Alex and I have had the pleasure of using the M8 and seeing the M8. Actually, I've been using it for a week now. It was just announced in New York and London. So I was in London and Alex was in New York. Wait, reverse
nope.
That. So it's now official. And in fact, you can probably, we're recording this early, but you can probably buy it a few places.
You can
right
definitely
now.
Buy it if you're in London. Rumors about whatever's going on in the US, but it looks like they're looking at a very, very fast turnaround for this, which is good whichever way you look at it.
That's almost as exciting as the phone itself, I think.
I think so. And we were talking about this a little bit on the podcast on Friday. I can't think of any high-profile Android phone or any high-profile gadget in general that has managed to have this zero-day turnaround. It's pretty impressive they can pull it off.
Nexus 5?
That's true, yeah. I mean, that's kind of a weird one, though, because you could never... Well, I guess you could buy that in stores. Yeah, maybe that's a decent argument there. Oh, well.
It's still impressive. I win. I'm going home.
I was trying to think of a way out of that one, but no. It's the Nexus 5.
So let's talk about this phone. You want to go over the basic specs now that they're officially official?
Yep. So let me just stumble around and try and find the spec sheet. Off the top of my head, we have a 5-inch screen, obviously. 5-inch 1080p screen, super LCD 3. Looks really nice. The old HTC One had a nice screen. I think this is, you know, at least as good. Really, really high quality.
My only complaint about the display right now, and I don't know if it's a complaint, because most every display just sucks in direct sunlight. And here in Florida, we tend to have a lot of that. I don't know about you.
Not so much over here. I mean, you've been using the Moto X for, what, the past six, almost exclusively the past 6 months.
Yeah.
That has Super AMOLED, and not just Super AMOLED, but kind of old Super AMOLED, like 720p. Would you say it's better than that? Because AMOLED has always suffered more than LCD, I think.
Yeah, and it might just be that it was really, really bright yesterday. I don't know.
Maybe, yeah.
You know, and if that's my only complaint about the display, I think it's a pretty small one, because generally...
I mean, what display doesn't have that issue?
Exactly. So it can be pretty tough. No, I think for all intents and purposes, the display is really nice. Should we just launch into the buttons? Because that's kind of the other big thing.
Yeah. So this thing has on-screen buttons.
Woohoo!
Woohoo, kind of.
Yes, woohoo! You're wrong!
Well, but look at the space you have below the buttons, right? You still have the bar that's just
showing
you an HTC logo.
This is your problem with that. Quit looking at that space.
That's not.
There's nothing going on there. I'm willing to bet somebody hacked something into the kernel to make that touchable again. I don't know. We'll see.
We'll see. I mean, here's my theory on that, and I brought this up with HTC in our meeting. Is this just a branding thing now? Is it just there to show you an HTC logo? And of course, there's electronics behind that, but that was surely part of the design that has to be there. And either they decided that this is their flagship phone, they really want to show you an HTC logo because this is the very best of HTC, which is a fair point from a marketing and a branding perspective. Or maybe they were planning on having the capacitive buttons again, and for whatever reason, halfway through, they changed their mind, because, you know, we've seen that happen with phones before. Button layouts change, and it's not always easy to rearrange the rest of the design around that. So, I mean, who knows? I'm interested to see what you... how well you've adjusted to it, because when I was using it the first time, I was constantly pressing to the left and right of that HTC logo, expecting there to be a button there. How's that been for you?
You're doing it wrong. It's fine.
I'm doing it wrong? Okay.
I've had no problems at all adjusting to it. I tell you, the biggest change was that HTC, they didn't redesign the on-screen button. I mean, it's still just back home recent apps.
Sure.
But,
and you have a recent apps key, which is, I guess,
which
kind
is
of a
nice
big deal. Yeah.
But the buttons themselves are just slightly different than Google's. It's one of those times when you're like, you can see HTC, it just can't help itself. They have to design things. That's what they do, and I get
yeah.
that. It's like,
well, the buttons look like, if you remember, they look like the buttons on last year's HTC One. Those look like the buttons on the One X, because
right.
the One X had that style of task switching key. I mean, HTC is not the only company doing this. I'm pretty sure Samsung on devices, like the cameras that they have on-screen buttons, they redesign them. Sony redesigns the on-screen buttons. If you're designing a UI from scratch, of course, you're going to want your input into the things that you're, you know, the buttons that you're pressing most of the time, the ones on the screen.
And I get that, but it's just like, You couldn't leave it alone. that was the first thing I thought, even if it's not right. But yeah, I have adjusted just fine. The black bar doesn't bother me in the least. I think if that's your biggest problem with this phone, you need to, you know, find something else to complain about. It's not bad at all. I did use, let's just talk about the software for a little while. So it is running Android 4.4.2, the latest version of Android, which, you know, it's sad that we have to even say that out loud, that's kind of a big deal.
But. Well, we didn't have that last year on the M7, did we?
No.
It was 4.1 in a world of 4. I mean, that wasn't such a big deal, because what do you miss out on? Not a whole lot.
Well, but the principle of the matter.
True, true.
Since 6?
Yes,
not
since 6.
Since?
Yep. I'll take your word for that.
Yes. I asked. It's... I like Sense. I still like Sense. There's still parts of it that just don't work for me. In fact, after a week, I finally switched back to a Action Launcher just to see how it looks on here, and because that's my normal workflow and it's what I'm used to. But Sense is perfectly fine. You still have Blink Feed on the left. It's still anchored to the left. You can turn it off if you want, and they've changed the way you can turn it off a little bit. It's not difficult. You just remove it like you would any other home screen. And then two other home screens by default on top of that. Now, I've got the UK version here, so all we had on it was HTC's new weather clock, Google search widget, and it's not embedded into the home screen.
You don't have all those fantastic carrier apps yet.
No, exactly. And then I've got like a Google apps folder, and that's it. That's all that's on these home screens, and it's really nice. I think I've decided I'm going to buy a developer version of this.
Okay. I guess we should say we're getting developer versions. We're getting unlocked versions of this, they told us. So.
Yes. Can't say officially yet because we just don't know at this time, but I'm willing to bet we will see Google Play editions.
I think that's probably a good bet.
Yeah. I mean, I think at this point going forward, like every major phone will probably have Google Play editions, right?
I have to see. I mean, some of the manufacturers like LG and Sony, they've, I guess Motorola as well, they've had, there's been some weirdness with the way they... with which phones they put on the GP program. But certainly, I would say the two leading manufacturers from our perspective, HTC and Samsung, or their flagships are always going to be GPs, I think.
Anyway, the point was, I just don't want the carrier bloatware. Ugh, no. Mm.
What else we've got? Well, let's actually talk about the design of this thing, because that is a huge part of the HTC One, any HTC One, especially the new HTC One. We've got three colors, gunmetal gray, glacial silver, and amber gold. And
the main one all right, every manufacturer out there, listen to the sound of my voice. Don't make up cutesy little names to go with the... Tell me what color it is. That's all I want to know.
It's not quite shimmery white, though, is it? That I was complaining about shimmery white.
That's one of the colors for the Galaxy S5, boys and girls.
Yeah.
Which
or charcoal
shimmer.
Wet, which may not be a typo. But the look of the hero color, which is the gunmetal gray,
is
really, really nice. It looks awesome. It has the brushed pattern on the back. It's shinier, I think, than the M7.
Yes.
The silver color is still basically the same look as the M7, I think. I don't know. I prefer the look of the gunmetal gray. We haven't seen the gold yet. I'm not sure if you saw it, Phil. But
I did. I've seen the gold. It's nice. It's like it's not like a bright gold. It's a very deep, kind of almost brownish gold.
Yeah, they called it champagne. The official name is amber gold, but it is really less of a not a bright gold, not like a block of gold bullion.
My only complaint about the gunmetal finish is it can feel a little slick in the hand. The other finishes, the champagne gold, that's what I'm going to call it, and the silver are the same finish as the M7, as the current HTC, the old HTC one, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Exact same finish as that. Gunmetal is, it's shiny. It's a little more slick, and so I have to try to hold on to this phone, and mea culpa, I have dropped it already.
Well, you dropped it doing something that the normal consumer probably wouldn't end up doing.
Yeah, it was right as I was going to start taking pictures of it and with it. And it was like, man, that's the first time this has happened, too. Like, pre-release, I was so pissed. So I did nick it up a little bit. The display is fine. But the worst part was when it bounced once, and then it bounced a second time. And watching the second bounce in slow motion was just like, So, yes, I have nicked up
the
size a little bit. And you can probably spot it a little bit in
Video. In general use, are you finding it more slick to hold on to than the M7?
The
M7, besides being a different texture, is just more angular. You have the plastic on the sides, and the sides are very flat.
Yeah, but see, no, I disagree. I mean, yeah, the sides are flat, but I disagree that the M7's easier to hold because of that. I love the shape of the M8. The way the sides just curve and slope over into the side, you know, the back curves into the side. It's all one piece now. Mm-hmm. So there's almost no like opportunity for tolerance issues. Every M7 I've had, and I've had six or seven of them, not because I dropped them or anything, just kept getting different versions of them around here. And I had like three pre-release versions, I think. Every M7 I've had has had different little manufacturing flaws, like maybe the little piece that fits on top of the speaker that glues in there. Maybe it was off just a little bit, or the zero gap construction thing. Zero gap.
So I think some of the later HTC ones were used. Like I saw the blue one when they first announced it. We got a gold one to play around with a bit. They finally got it. You know, the build issues nailed down by then, but it was almost too late. And I think this time around, you've got the wraparound design. The only join you have really is basically around the edge of that unibody. The speakers are separate pieces of metal. They're sort of fitted on top. You can see a very, very fine plastic join between the edge of the speakers and sort of the outside edge of the chassis, which is fine. I mean, that's the only join you really have, and you're not really going to be running your finger over that, and it looks just fine.
It's kind of like they spent the last year figuring out how to work with the metal. And now they just went hardcore, and it's just like, all right, we figure this out. Let's make it look good, and that's what they did.
They sort of killed two birds with one stone with changing the design to have this wraparound, because, like you said, there's less opportunities for all these awkward joints and the way you had around the speakers on the M7.
Exactly. It's really, really nice. Another fun fact, and I've been trying to see this in the M7, and I can't, but on the M8, you can actually see where the speaker physically is. You know, it doesn't take up that entire width of the grill. Some of that's a facade. Mm. And the one on top, you have speaker, and then you can see a couple holes for maybe a couple holes for your piece, though that might use the speaker for that. I'm not quite sure. And then you can see the hole for the notification light. So there's a notification light up there. Mm. And then down on the bottom, you can see very distinctly the speaker, which takes up like the left, I don't know, dozen, 15 holes. For the four rows, and then a couple spaces, and then you can see where the microphone is for three more rows. That's not a bad thing. It's just kind of funny.
Yeah, I'm willing to bet that it's probably the same in the M7. I haven't looked. It's definitely the same on Sony's phones. I mean, I got the Xperia Z1 Compact here, which is a really loud and kind of great sounding speaker. Mm-hmm. But of course, only half of it is actually speaker. They have this massive grill, but then the left portion is actually where the sound comes out. But that's, like I say, not necessarily a terrible thing.
Another little fun thing that you'll notice in the video, I don't know if you spotted it, Alex, but where I guess it's the illumination. What would you call it? The
is it the proc sensor?
Proc sensor, yeah. There, you see something like a little red light blinking in that space there, and you can see it in the video. You can't actually see it with your naked eye. That was kind of interesting. I don't know what it is.
I guess that's just because it pulses IR or whatever to detect your face when it's when you're making a call.
Yeah, and the video camera caught it. 5-megapixel camera on the front, which by the way has HDR. I just figured out this morning.
They were saying really great looking selfies. I think it's definitely an improvement on what we've seen from a lot of phones, including the M7 in the past year.
Need a better face.
Well, yeah, it's not going to improve anyone's face, but you're going to take very good looking selfies with it.
The top edge is really interesting, especially before you drop it on the ground. You have a power button up there, but it's this cool little black band that kind of stretches the width of it, and it's got some more sensors up there. I mean, did they say if the IR port is actually in the power button again, or is it just
they weren't really sure. I was trying to mess around with the the various levels and stuff in the pictures I took on Monday, and it looks like you have more stuff behind, you know, you can kind of adjust the brightness levels, and you can see what looks like various either sensors or ports or whatever behind that. I'd be willing to bet that because that would be less of an engineering challenge just to put an IR port behind a piece of black plastic that it probably isn't. And that, of course, that's also there for radios and stuff. So you have that's probably where all the antennas live, because obviously it's a metal phone. It's easier to have antennas around the top where it's visible.
The sides are worth mentioning. The volume button is all one piece, which is kind of cool. I like that.
Yeah, I mean, just on the power button. That's kind of awkwardly placed. But that's, I mean, it's awkwardly placed if you're right-handed, because on the M7 you can reach over to the left relatively easily if you're right-handed. It's over on the right now, but that's for reasons, I don't know if we want to get into those reasons now or later, that's kind of not an issue on the M8.
Yeah, and I'm one of those crazy right-handers that holds the phone with the left hand, so maybe that's what I didn't notice. No, what Alex is talking about, LG has borrowed, shall we say, or HTC has borrowed LG's feature of double-tapping the display to wake it up to turn it on, which is very cool.
Well, you see, people give LG credit for that. Sony had it first on their little tablet that no one bought.
Well, then it doesn't count, does it?
No, well.
Okay, fine. But HTC has actually gone above and beyond that, and they're calling this motion launch or you know, launch motion, and you know, I should totally know that name by now. Looking at it for 3 days.
Motion launch, I think, on the spec sheet. Yeah.
And you can do different things. So actually, instead of just double tapping, you can swipe to the right, and that will open to the home screen. They call it open to the widget launcher or something.
The widget, they have some weird name for it. Yeah, I don't know. It's the widget tray or something like that.
What are you talking about? That's the home screen. So anyway, if you see that, that's what it means. Swipe down.
That's the last loaded app, I think, isn't it?
See, that's not quite working for me. And I'm using I'm using pre-release software, I guess. But that just tends to unlock it.
Maybe you have to...
Oh, no. Swipe down is voice dialing. That was it.
Ah, okay, yeah.
Swipe up is unlocks directly to the home screen.
And you can swipe... Yeah, you have the other gestures to get to Blink Feed or your widget deck or whatever they're calling it.
Right. Swipe... One of these is supposed to swipe to Blink Feed. Oh, it's not because I've got a different launcher on it. That's what happened. And that's something to keep in mind, actually, because some of the stuff, it doesn't break, but it does break a little bit if you have another launcher on there. So that makes sense.
I think that's probably the most useful feature that they've added. I mean, there's a lot of new stuff, but
to swipe directly
into the home screen, that's really great without pressing a button.
That was probably the least useful explanation of it as well.
Maybe, but...
That was my fault. We'll have we'll absolutely do another video showing all this, so, and it's in our videos as well.
I think we should do GIFs as well. Let's do GIFs.
Yes. Like... And still pictures of cats.
Yes. Well, we may or may not have some of those.
Hey, back to the speakers for a second. I do want to mention, they said they carved out about 20% more space behind the speakers themselves, and if you know anything about speakers, you need to have a little air pocket behind them to... it improves the bass, it just gives it a fuller sound, right?
So, and they say something like 25% louder than the previous generation boom sound.
I actually bought a decibel meter for some unscientific testing, and I want to stress that anything I do is pretty unscientific. And just trying it yesterday at home, I was seeing like 3 to 5 decibels higher on the M8. I don't, percentage-wise, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And that was just like a flat tone, just going... But no, it definitely sounds fuller. It definitely sounds a little louder. So nice improvement there.
And boom sound isn't just the speakers this time, right? I mean, HTC.
Well, it never was.
Sorry?
It never was. They always considered boom sound to be speakers plus software.
Okay, but basically boom sound has now replaced what we knew as Beats Audio before. The toggle for the audio enhancements is now a boom sound toggle, not a Beats toggle.
Yeah, and a weird little like B logo shows up when music...
Yeah, I know. It's just, so it does look kind of like a Beats logo. So,
but not quite.
Yeah,
it makes it sound a little compressed. I still liken it to applying a sharpening filter in Photoshop. It makes it sound a little crisper. The highs come out a lot more, but it also sounds a little more compressed. And I'm kind of hit and miss. It depends on what I'm listening to, I think. So definitely play with that once you guys...
I would be really interested to learn whether they actually licensed anything from Beats for that, or whether that's just their... whether that's the same thing with a different name, or whether it's something new. Not entirely sure.
Yeah, no, that's a very good question. Flip around to the back as I flip the phone over to the back, which is relatively unscathed.
Oh, have we talked about the other side yet?
With the
nano SIM tray?
Yeah, so nano SIM, it's the tiny little one. The iPhone uses it. The Moto X uses it.
And it's kind of interesting because you have the nano SIM and you have this giant SIM tray, which apparently is because they're using the same mold in the dual SIM version.
That makes sense. Okay, I see. Yeah, because it had like this long arm that sticks out, and that was a little weird.
It's basically the width of two nano SIMs, which makes sense for a dual SIM.
That totally makes sense.
And micro SD on the other side. So
yeah, I put one in there just because I had one laying around. I don't know how I feel about that. If you haven't listened to us talk about and read Jerry's excellent piece on SD cards and KitKat and what all that means right now, absolutely go do it, and we'll be sure to have it linked like everywhere in all our M8 stuff. But, I mean, I've lived for so long without one in the Moto X and Nexus devices. I'm okay without an SD card.
I'm okay without an SD card, but I think if your base storage is 16 as it is on the M8, yes. And you know, by the way, they've gone from a 32 and a 64 to a 16 and a 32 for whatever reason. I think if you're doing that and you have maybe 10 or 11 gigs for all your stuff, it makes sense to have the SD card for all your photos, all your video. And of course, Google Play Music now can be backed up and cached to an SD card. So there's that as well. The two biggest things that you use internal storage for, music and photos, can now all go on the SD card.
Oh, that's true. And you know what? The camera app asks if you want to save to the SD card. I don't think Google Play Music does by default.
It doesn't. You have to find that option.
Yes, which I'm going to go do now while we're talking.
So SD card, less internal storage. I mean, that they obviously have metrics to determine how much storage people are actually using, and that figures into product decisions and how much storage the M8 has versus the M7. But I mean, at least there's the option there to go with a 32 if you want, no 64 option. I mean, I guess they would have. That's probably because maybe no one bought the 64 last time. I don't know.
I have a feeling it was just kind of cost prohibitive. I mean, because they very much look at it. Look, here's how many people bought this thing. Is it worth us even making it?
And if exactly.
The answer is just no, then they're not going to do it. And it sucks from a standpoint of choice. But from a manufacturing standpoint.
You know. And I think I'm fine, you know, if I'm buying a phone for 2 years and I really want that extra storage, I think 32 is probably enough for most people, especially with the expandable storage as well.
Yeah, generally. And I've gotten better about kind of minding my caches, especially for music and videos and stuff. And Quiz Up is horrible at that.
So moving on to sort of nitty gritty CPU stuff, if we want to talk about that and then get to the camera later, because that's kind of an interesting bit.
Yes.
I mean, I guess it's kind of interesting, but also not. It's a Snapdragon 801 in the US and Europe and Middle East and parts of Asia. It's EMEA, whatever that acronym stands for. 2.3 gigahertz. It's the MSM 8974AB. I got them to check that. That's what it is. So it's not the AA. If you're worried about what various things are clocked at, which you're probably not, because that's not something you should really worry about. But China and other parts of Asia are getting a 2.5, which is the MSM 8974AC. It's the highest one, the same one that's in the Galaxy S5. So different CPU if you're getting it in Asia. From what I understand, that's kind of like a regional product decision. They were saying that the standard one, the 2.3, is very much, you know, well optimized for what it is. Obviously, it's optimized for battery life, and they were talking a lot about the battery optimizations they were making. I'm not really going to lose any sleep over the fact that it's a 2.3 and not a 2.5. I'm sure some people will feel like complaining, but I mean, it is what it is. It's mostly just a 200 megahertz CPU difference, and I don't really care.
If it gets me, you know, an extra 2 hours battery life, cool.
Maybe it will. Well, like an extra
whatever it is. Whatever. I mean, look, they're going to optimize these things. They should.
Yeah.
Actually, you want to talk battery life for a second?
Yeah, so what are your impressions been? Because it's only 600 milliamp hour.
I almost want to call it a disclaimer, but actually I want us to start doing this on all our reviews, I think. And I just said, you know, about this review, I said, look, we've had the phone for a week. I've got a UK version here in the States, which means no LTE. And generally what I see when I'm using the UK phone here is it will bounce back and forth a little bit between HSPA Plus and HSPA. Mm-hmm. Like you see some wonkiness in the radio. And that very much affects battery life, right?
Yeah.
But what I have seen just anecdotally, and we will do, you know, we don't do like these screen on tests and these video tests. I get why people do it, because they're relatively easy and you have this data to show at the end of it. But it doesn't mean a whole lot to me because it's not real world, right? I want to hear about how a phone works, how long it works when you're actually using it like a phone and not like some lab rat. And so we're going to have to wait a little bit till we do that, till Alex gets a proper one over there, till I get a proper US version here. But Saturday was, you know, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday was kind of just like hardcore taking pictures, running stuff, and not good on battery life. And it takes a day or two to settle in anyway. But Saturday, you know, probably more than half the day on Wi-Fi, out and about for 4 or 5 hours, and I got about 15, 16 hours out of it. So for
that's pretty good, yeah.
Yeah, for an unoptimized device.
Definitely, yes. But I mean, you were using on AT&T, I think, aren't you?
Yes, and I was out.
AT&T has this reputation for if your phone is not optimized for AT&T radios, it just tanks your battery. So that's fairly impressive.
And I was out taking a bunch of pictures.
Yeah. I think we were talking relative to other phones, and you were saying it's about what you were getting on the Moto X.
I think at least. I think it might be better than that. I forget what the Moto X battery is. This one's 2,600
milliamp. 22, I think.
Yeah, so it's got a little more capacity anyway. But I think we're all going to be pretty happy with it.
Which again, is good, because I think from using the M7 on and off for the past year, it's easy. You'll get you through your day most of the time, but it's easier than I would like to just kill it with heavy use.
Yes. So, and it was slower to charge, too, and that shouldn't be an issue this time.
Yeah, it's Qualcomm Quick Charge 2.0. They have under 1.5 amp charger, same one that they use with the Max.
See, you'll see in our unboxing video, I was kind of making fun of you UK guys, Alex, because...
Really?
Well, because I got it with the UK charger.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And it was pretty huge. And, actually, that little third prong extends. That's kind of neat. And then I got the US one on Saturday. It came in the mail, and it's also pretty big. But, yeah, it's a 1.5 amp charger, so it should charge a lot faster. Yeah. Generally, I mean, getting through yesterday, I was down to about 18% when I went to bed, and I just plugged it in, so I didn't look. It looked like it was charging fairly quickly. Talking to some HTC people, they said, look, you know, I've been going all day with this thing and charging it at night only because I have to. But then they've got all these power saving modes on there. So one is like a normal kind of power saving mode and you can tweak whatever. But then it has this extreme power saving mode. Extreme!
And, it is pretty extreme, isn't it? What it does is it actually limits what you can do with the phone while that mode is on. Certain apps besides the core apps for using the phone as basically a phone are disabled.
You can basically make phone calls and get texts, and you can, you know, manually pull email. I'm not sure if that's Gmail or just HTC's app. Wouldn't surprise me if it's just HTC's app. But what they said was you can go out with 5% battery and get about 15 hours in that mode. Even if it's half that, that's still ridiculous.
Yeah, it's something. I mean, this usage amount with very low battery is something a lot of manufacturers have been talking about, and obviously that's. It's good that we're starting to move away from the fact that with a lot of older phones, you would get to maybe 30% and your phone would be basically dead at that point.
Right.
It's good that we're getting that last third of the battery to really deliver now.
And even, you know, last night when I got down to like 30%, I just let it be, right? I didn't switch modes or anything. I wanted to see what would happen. And I still got another hour and a half out of it at least, easily. So I think we're going to be plenty impressed by the battery. I want like more time. We'll do another piece on battery life once we get some actual time under our belts. It just kills me seeing people write about batteries after 2-3 days of use while you're testing the phone. It's because it's so hard on the phones. But I think we're going to be all right.
Should be good. Shall we move on to the camera or the cameras?
I finally camera. It took me a little while. You know, God, remember the M7 and how long it took me to get a handle on the camera. The general premise is the same. Technically, it's a 4-megapixel shot, right? That's the resolution of the images.
Yeah, we have a 2-micron pixel size, ultra-pixel sensor, backside illuminated, third of an inch, f2.0, 28mm lens. And then you have the second camera, the secondary camera, which is the one at the top. And that doesn't capture pictures in the traditional sense. What it does is gather depth information.
In fact, I'm not even going to call it a secondary camera because I think that's kind of a misnomer.
I'm calling it a secondary camera because that's what's written on the spec sheet.
But. Fine. I'm going to call it like a secondary lens.
Yeah.
And you'll see people mention 3D. It has nothing to do with taking traditional 3D pictures. There's a
not cool traditional 3D pictures, but the depth stuff can be used to give you pictures of 3D effect when they're viewed on the phone.
Yeah, there's a little 3D effect you can turn on, and it's kind of cool. You'll see it, and it gets used in the highlight films and the highlight videos, which is kind of cool. I think, and again, I want a second. I was talking to Alex about this last night. I want a second opinion on the images, just because Alex is better with cameras than I am. For me, I think it's going to be okay. It still doesn't seem like it's as good an all around camera as what you get from Sony and Samsung and LG, in particular.
I've been looking at some of the pictures you've been taking, and you did side by sides with the M7, and interestingly, also the GS5. And I mean, no, look,
GS4.
GS4. And it's, I mean, you were taking pictures outside bright sunny day in Florida. You couldn't ask for more perfect conditions for taking a photo, especially on a smartphone.
Except that I was taking
some of the outdoor shots. The GS4 looks a lot better. there's a lot more fine detail, there's less noise, and it seems like, you know, they're maybe not necessarily competing on megapixels, but they're not really competing on image quality either. That if you want a straight up camera for taking really good photos and you know, being able to zoom in and see fine detail, that's probably not the HTC One.
I think you're going to end up seeing some really good pictures with it. I think you're going to end up seeing a lot of mediocre pictures with it, kind of like the M7.
I mean, it has improved compared to the M7, though.
Yes, absolutely.
You just, the side by sides, you can see there's less noise. The issue with washout because of low dynamic range when you're outside seems to be mostly gone. Some things that aren't gone, again, the fact that you just have such a low megapixel count that when when you zoom in, but also noise reduction. When noise reduction algorithm, it tends to eat away at more fine detail just because there's less data to deal with. That seems to still be a thing. It solves some of the issues that we have with the M7 camera. I think some of them are just inherent to the whole ultra pixel thing.
Yes, I think you're right. And I think if you treat it like kind of like a prime lens, you know, for all things holy, don't zoom in with this phone. You know, shoot what's right in front of you. Try to stage it as best you can. You're going to end up with some really good stuff, I think. And especially when you take into consideration, and I'm probably not being as, I'm absolutely not being as hard on this camera as I think you will be in others, and probably rightfully so. I think I use the cameras a little differently than you do. And that's, you know, not to say there's right or wrong, and no, this is not the world's best camera. For me, it's probably going to be okay. Not perfect.
It goes back to what they were originally saying with the M7, capturing, you know, prioritizing having like a fast capture speed over just leaving the lens open for longer and capturing more detail. If you're looking to capture something that's moving quickly, if you want to, you know, not worry about having to frame a shot and then just waiting, then maybe that's a little bit better. I don't know.
And then you get all this extra stuff, right? So you get Zoes. And Zoes, by the way, have changed a little bit. And I should have said this at the beginning. The camera app is so much better. So much improved. Before,
it's
everything
pretty much completely overhauled, isn't it?
Yeah, most everything was tucked away in this horrible just text-based menu before. And these layers, and, you know, I use this phone a lot, and I still had a hard time remembering what was where. Now it's very visual. You've got this little quad circle icon down on the bottom, and that takes you to more circles that bring up the big, I'm calling it two layers of modes. Front-facing camera, they just call selfie, which is genius, by the way, because that's what everybody calls it. Selfie camera, dual capture, which is that thing where it turns on the front-facing camera at the same time, is the rear, so you can get yourself in the picture while you're taking a picture of something else, whatever. Video mode, pan 360, which Photosphere, and by the way, HTC has done the best implementation of Photosphere software, I think. End result, I got to keep practicing a little bit, and I got to see some more. I took some more this morning. Because I was getting a little bit of echoing in the images, at least in the daylight, so I'm going to take some more. But the best implementation, all you get is this orange block in the middle of the screen, right, to start with. And then it says, all right, focus on that for a second. Now move over here and hit this big orange block again, or red block, whatever. And then go to the next one. And you can actually see this block. It is big. It's, you know, so much bigger than the tiny little dot that Google uses. Or LG has these weird brackets. You can actually see this big block as you're squinting into the sun and trying not to move the camera too much off its, you know, what should be the stationary rotation point. So much easier to take. So I'm a big fan of that, and I'm so happy to see it on this phone because I miss it. I miss Photosphere every time I lose it. And then Zoe camera is like a dedicated mode now instead of just a button that's sitting there on the UI. I'm a little, excuse me. I'm a little mixed on that. I think I prefer, I think it was just quicker to be able to tap it real quick and then take a picture, but the implementation has also changed. Instead of just, you know, going into Zoe mode and then hitting the shutter button and then it takes 5 seconds of video, now you go into Zoe mode and you actually hold down the shutter for as long as you want. And if you hold it down, I think it's after like 5 or 7 seconds, it will automatically kick into video mode and just start taking a video because it kind of assumes that's what you wanted to do.
Do you still get the few seconds at the start? That it records
when it kicks into video?
Yeah.
Well, what it does then is when it's making a highlight Yeah, I mean, you can still go into it and get the still images, right? But when it's making a highlight video, it just uses the video. I mean, it's the exact same thing, right?
Yeah.
It's just longer. Instead of a 5-second MP4, it's now a 30-second MP4. So that's changed a little bit, and it's taken a little getting used to. I don't know if it's better or worse. I think it was just different, and maybe that was my problem.
So explain that we have the Zoe camera mode in the actual camera app,
yes.
And but there's also a separate Zoe camera app that's just an app, isn't there?
I don't know what that is yet. It's not ready as of the time we're recording this. It might be ready for Tuesday's announcement. When you're all listening to this, we might have it. But basically what it's going to be is a way to share and also collaborate on video highlights, which is going to be really cool. So if Alex and I are at the HTC event, and I'm taking a bunch of Zoes with my HTC One, Alex is taking a bunch with his, and Richard is also there in London, and I've got somebody else with me in New York, and we all say, hey, we all have this really cool stuff, but how do we put it together? This is how you put it together. So you can have groups of friends, and you can all collaborate and share your stuff and make one video. You can make separate videos, so you all don't have to have the same thing. So that should be really cool. We'll see. I haven't gotten to use it yet. It's not ready, at least for me. Video highlights, I think, have also gotten easier to put together, much easier to understand.
Really? Because they were pretty easy before, weren't they?
In 5.5, yeah, in Sense 5.5. And I had used Sense 5.5 a whole lot. But much improved over Sense 6, right? It shows you, hey, here are all the things we're using in this video highlight. You can just uncheck the ones you don't want or check others in. Theming is about the same. Although, funny, just little UI things, right? You can now swipe between the selection process and then swipe over to the theme. Before, it was a tap and just little things like that. New themes, although Icelandia is back, I think.
Okay.
That was like, talking to the HTC guys, that was kind of an internal thing. Like, we want it back. Everybody loves that one. And it disappeared in Sense 5.5.
Yeah, all of the ones from Sense 5.0, they just ditched them all in 5.5, which is a bit strange.
Right.
But some of the ones from 5.5 are still there, I think. I didn't get a look at all of them. But I think it's kind of like a mix of the highlights of the last version of Sense.
I got a software update Friday night. And by the way, the software I've been using is newer than those leaks that came out. Those leaks were like, 1.19 or something? And I've got
1.5 something.
I've got 1.54 right now. It came back in an update. So we'll see. I assume it's going to be there in the release build.
I think the plan is to release it Tuesday. Because people are obviously going to be buying it on Tuesday, even if the US gets it later, then it'll be out to buy in certain London stores on Tuesday.
Yes. There are a few, by the way, and this is one of the apps, there are a few apps that are going to be available in Google Play. That's one of them. Trying to remember what the others are.
Is the gallery one of them?
I believe it was.
But there are a few of them, and they're looking to update stuff through Google Play now, like Motorola does, which just means that if you only get updated HTC apps, it's just a question of updating it like any other app. You don't have to wait for new firmware to get pushed out.
And that's a big deal. That said, HTC is doing really well on its updates lately, too.
Yeah.
So, what else? Other software I care about. Kid Mode is on here, which is cool. Do Not Disturb is still tucked in there. It's a little more forefront in the quick settings menu, which is cool.
What do you feel about just the general size and height of the thing? Because it's bigger, you have a 5-inch screen, it's taller than the M7, which was already a pretty tall phone.
It was. Look, I prefer a smaller phone. That's what kept me coming back to the Moto X for so long. Boom sound, I love. It's a tiny bit taller. I think once you've already got a phone that's that size, that's that tall, going just a tiny bit taller really didn't make that big a difference.
Yeah. I really noticed the tallness really when I was using it. Obviously not, hadn't used it for very long, but and on the other hand, I've been using Sony phones like the Xperia Z1, which is a big, tall phone with massive bezels.
It's a big bezel with a display in it.
Pretty much, yeah. We talk about the HTC logo bar here. That's at least it's not just a load of dead space.
Yeah, it doesn't bother me at all, because actually, if you line up the M7 and the M8 and put the on-screen buttons next to the capacitive buttons of the M7, it all lines up almost perfectly. Not quite perfectly, but pretty close. So the top of the display is exactly where the top of the display is on the M7. The buttons on the M8 are exactly where the buttons are on the M7. The display matches up almost perfectly. So really didn't bother
me. Cool. And of course you can get away with taller more than you can get away with wider with a phone.
Yes.
Because it's, you know, easier to reach up than it is to reach across.
Absolutely. I'm trying to think what else. The settings menu. Oh, you can theme the settings menu. You know,
you can theme the entire phone and most of the apps, can't you?
Yeah,
themes on there.
It's subtle.
You get different colors that are applied to different apps.
Yes, it's subtle when you do it. You will most likely notice it in the quick settings menu and in the settings menu itself, because the highlights will turn from green to purple to orange or whatever. And then yes, you will see it within some of HTC's other phones or other apps. What else? Just flipping through HTC TV is still in there, by the way. So it's still
yeah. And I've done some new stuff with that, with sort of second screen type stuff, with getting information about what you're watching on the phone. Yep. So if you're using it to change channels, view stuff, then it can also bring in program information about what you're watching. They showed, I think, sports is a big part of that, and just more information on, like, actors and stuff in a movie you might be watching, I think, is another one of the things that they're doing.
Didn't really talk about Blinkfeed yet either. Blinkfeed is relatively the same.
Kind of. You can, a minor change, but kind of an interesting one. If you change which home screen is actually your home screen, then it will either include or get rid of the weather thing at the top in Blinkfeed.
Oh, I didn't notice that. That's a good
thought. So if you change the home screen to the widget drawer, whatever they call it, then Blinkfeed will lose its weather clock at the top. If you change it back to Blinkfeed will then have the weather at the top.
Oh, cool.
And they wanted to, I think that changes because if you have the weather on the main home screen, which is the default,
why would you need it in Blinkfeed?
Why would you want to scroll between two pages with basically the same widget on?
No, that's good. The background color of Blinkfeed changes with the theme of the phone as well.
Yep, so it's green by default, and you have a bunch of others that you can choose from. I think they were talking about that they changed around the way the grid works, so it's easier to have more graphical stuff in there. Whereas yes. Before, you'd be scrolling down, especially if you had Twitter updates and things like that didn't necessarily have an image associated with them. It was easier just to have a big wall of text, which is not what they were shooting for, really. So I think the grid has been rearranged to make it easier to show graphical stuff. And I think there's even a little bit of focus on there with things like Facebook. More liked posts will be included rather than just being essentially at random or based on what's more recent, which is what they were doing before.
It hooks into Foursquare now as well, which is really interesting because it will offer up restaurant recommendations. It will say, hey, I realize you're across the street from Five Sisters. Would you like to eat at Five Sisters?
And it's interesting because that's edging it sort of closer to what Google Now is doing.
Yeah. I would love to see different options for that, like maybe not Foursquare, but Zagat or even Google Now, whatever. It's all about the APIs and partnerships.
Yeah, yeah.
But interesting to see that added in there, and nice to see Blinkfeed moving just from a news reader into something more contextual and more useful. HTC did mention to me, by the way, that they were pleasantly surprised with how popular Blinkfeed was. You know, think back to last year, I was like, oh my God, it's taking up a home screen space. I don't want this. I can't.
It was also the fact that you couldn't turn it off last year.
Well, sure.
And you know, you're forcing any change on people. And of course, you know, you can change your launcher. That's going to get rid of Blinkfeed. But
right.
It was a little bit controversial. So let's see. We're talking about some of the gestures you could do before. That's part of the whole low powered sensor thing you have going on here, and that's a feature of Snapdragon 800 and 801.
Yep.
You can also, in addition to just doing like gestures on the screen, you can flip the phone into landscape orientation, press the volume button, and launch straight into the camera, which is pretty cool.
Yes, that's nice. It has to be in landscape, and even then, let's see, did it work this time? Yeah, it worked that time. I don't think it's quite as useful as the wrist flick that Motorola's done, but it is a nice shortcut. I think the wrist flick was great. That was kind of my hidden. That was kind of my hidden favorite feature of the year.
And they have for the other low power sensors. I think they have integration with Fitbit, don't they? The Fitbit app.
Yes, Fitbit is built in, and and it will like track your walking and stuff and your movement through the phone, which is kind of neat. I'll have to play with that as we go up to New York on Tuesday. It's weird, like, doing this podcast before it's this far before it's airing, but we're pretending, hey, we're doing this right now. We're not really pretending. It's just odd. Trying to keep us in the now.
Which is to say the future.
The future. This is a future podcast. Actually, that was kind of my favorite line of the review, which Alex hasn't even read yet. This very much looks and feels to me like a futuristic phone.
Yeah, that's a fair comment. And the look, it's funny how the look of this makes the M7 look and feel kind of old. I mean, the M7's a good-looking phone,
yeah.
And maybe it's just because we've used it so much over the past year, but it definitely looks like a classier product than the M7,
which is
no small achievement.
I don't disagree with that at all. I'll be real curious to see as we put this up side-by-side against the Galaxy S5 and whatever Apple comes out with this year, how it stands up to those. And, yeah, I mean, we're going to get complaints, whoa, you're comparing it to the GS4 and the iPhone 5S, and, well, that's all we have right now. I mean, yeah. we're going to have the Galaxy S5 real soon. But
for the, I mean, looking at the camera comparison, the GS4 is an interesting comparison there, because here's a phone from last year that in a lot of situations takes better pictures than it.
Yeah, no, I freely admit we gave the GS4 kind of short shrift just because the software was so crappy at first. And
yeah, maybe. I mean,
nothing we haven't talked about.
No. Yeah.
But I mean, God, look how well the M7 stood up even after a year. You know, and I've been using it for the past, I don't know, almost a month now. No, more than a month now. You know, and I've been using the M7 again, and you know, really, really nice device. And I look forward to the M8 lasting as long. I think this phone absolutely has the possibility. My, you know, feeling it again, the metal feels just a little thinner to me, and maybe it's the gunmetal finish that's doing it.
You think?
Maybe. I don't know. I want to play with the other versions a little bit more. It feels a little thinner and almost plasticky compared to the M7, but that, again, that could just be the gunmetal.
Sure. I think definitely the front of the speakers are, because that's a much thinner piece of metal, because that doesn't need to sort of wrap around the side. So that's probably correct there. I don't know. I'd spend some more time with it.
Yeah.
I think for me, the biggest thing with this, the two big things that I wanted to improve in the M7, the battery life and the camera. And you know, the battery life, I think we can probably safely say has improved a reasonable amount. The camera is tricky, though. That's probably the biggest disappointment for me, I think. You know, I say this having not used it really for any length of time, but I don't know. I think it's going to depend on what kind of smartphone photographer you are, but definitely this year there are going to be better options for just taking straight-up photos.
Yeah, I mean, what I do generally doesn't end up being so artsy, and quite often has half a dozen filters applied to it anyway.
True. So, and that's probably more representative of what usual smartphone user would do.
Yeah.
And we come up against these issues of comparing the way we use phones with the way the, you know, how many million people are going to be using this M8. So yeah, we'll have to see.
I think we have a good kind of mix, right? You are much better at photography than I am. I'm taking quick pictures of my kids and trying to get things out fast, and occasionally come up with something that looks a little artsy. Hey, by the way, my phone came with a little TPU case in the UK box.
Cool. Is that, do we know if that's a normal thing?
I had a retail box.
Okay. Do you want to talk accessories for a second? Because we have one that is kind of interesting in particular. We have the HTC DotView case, and that's the thing we saw leaked a while back. Essentially, it's a standard flip case with holes in the front.
Right.
And what that allows it to do is to have light shining through from the screen, and which shows you the time in like a little dot matrix effect. So you have the time, the weather. It can also show you pending notifications, pending notifications, not all, like low battery or any alarms coming up, calendar notifications, text or missed calls, that kind of stuff. I'm trying to remember, because it was about a week ago and it was demoed very briefly. I'm pretty sure you can activate the gestures for voice calling as well through the case.
Yes, you can. If you get a call, you don't even have to open the case to take the call. That's actually, it's a cool feature of the phone itself and has nothing to do with the case. All you have to do is pick the phone up, put it to your ear, it recognizes that motion and answers the call. And it works pretty well. And it does look really cool with the case. So.
It does, yeah. It's a nice looking case, and it's a very unique take on the whole sort of S-view idea, the idea of having a case that also protects your phone, and you know, you can also view and do stuff on at the same time.
I agree. What else?
We've also got your standard double dip and folio cases and all that good stuff. Let's just scroll through. Have we missed anything? I think we've covered more or less everything. We got Google Drive. You get free 50 gigs on top of the standard 15 that you get for free, which is nice. The Macs had that as well. I think you got the SD card.
No, one more thing on the lock screen as I'm looking at it. When you hold the lock button, you have options to either, you can pull it to the right and that goes straight to Blink Feed, or you can pull it to the left and that goes straight to your home screen, or you can just pull up to unlock and go back to whatever app you were in.
Mm-hmm. So the same kind of gestures that you would have just from when the phone's off.
Yes. That was the integration though, not... Oh, no, I'm sorry. Swipe up does go to the last app you were in. Yes. Going back to that.
So just on the Geo camera, we talked about the second sensor and how that does depth and stuff. But one of what that lets you do after you've taken photos is it stores that depth information as EXIF data. And you then have these sort of 3D effects that we talked about. You also have what's called U-Focus, which, interesting name, but what it lets you do is similar to what we've seen from Samsung, really. You can focus on any sort of, well, you can defocus the background, you can change the focus so either the foreground or background is sort of blurred out artistically. And you can also apply different artsy effects to either the foreground or the background. So if you want to have whatever's in the foreground look as it normally does, and you want to have the background as kind of a pencil effect or a painted effect, you can do that. And actually works pretty well from the few examples I saw.
If I were a cynical man, I would say that they're doing this stuff to kind of hide the resolution.
Yeah, and not so much the resolution as the issues that still exist with the chroma noise, which is still unfortunately a thing.
But I'm not a cynical man, and I don't want to say that out loud, even though I did. No, I mean, it's kind of a side effect of that, I guess, is it takes care of some of that. And I was playing with it yesterday. It's kind of neat, I guess. Yeah, and you can put, like, little hats on people and stuff, and like you can in Hangouts. And yeah, I mean, you've got a lot of cool camera features in this that even though it's not, like, the world's best all-around camera.
And the part of me wants to just say, why didn't they just put some of that effort into actually, to the actual hardware? Because whatever you build on top of it, you're still hamstrung by this, the relatively low quality of the images that you get because of the camera hardware, right? So,
and I'm sure there are answers to that that just elude me, because it's going to be a big deal. I think I'm going to be okay with this camera. We'll see.
Yeah, I want to spend some more time with it. I'm judging it, based on what you've told me and the images I've seen.
Right.
Be interested to use it myself and see how well that compares to what I've been using, which is mainly Sony stuff and the Nexus 5, and to a lesser extent some Samsung phones.
Yeah, no, we'll do a lot more on the camera. Battery life was another, not a big question. I think it's going to be pretty good.
Yeah.
It's another one I want us to get more in depth on. We're going to go pretty in depth on a lot of these features as long as we can. Because there's a lot going on. I want to help people walk through it. So it was funny this week. I was already seeing people complain, you only write about the Galaxy S5. It's not even out yet. It's like, yeah, just you wait. we're going to go crazy on the M8 for sure, because it's a really good phone and deserves it. So, anything else before we wrap this up? I think it's a pretty decent...
I think we've covered, there's a lot to cover, a lot in the software and a lot on accessories and just a lot going on in the design of the phone in general, but it's... they're not diverging too much from what they started with the M7. Improvements across the board. I think the biggest thing for me is the way Sense 6 looks, the performance of it. Yes. By the way, you can enable ART if you want to do that. It supports the experimental runtime. If that is a reason for you to buy a phone or not, then great, you can enable ART.
I have not enabled ART yet, by the way.
Wow. Well,
just haven't. Oh, well.
Oh, well.
15 hours not on ART. What do you want?
just sort of bouncing around the place with ideas here. Your biggest thing is the way it looks. Obviously, the industrial design. I think Sense 6 is just like a culmination of lots of small changes that make it feel a little bit fresher. The camera, maybe I think we're possibly a little disappointed with just general image quality, but of course it's all about the features and Zoes and stuff more than just, having a massive high megapixel image. And the battery life, I'm pleased to hear that it's a solid improvement of the M7 in that area as well.
Yes. All right, so that's it. Stay tuned for loads more on the HTC One. The all-new HTC One, which, yes, is not called the all-new HTC One. Come on, people. Stop it. So that's it. We will have more coming out your way and probably a regular podcast later this week. So see ya.
See ya.